Now back to the beat.
720 WGN.
720 WGN 605. Glad to have you along on a now Saturday evening. Mark Harmon and Harry Tynowitz. The Cubs' pursuit of Jake Arrieta continues. We'll get there in a second with the Cubs' outstanding beat reporter for your Chicago Sun-Times, Gordon Wittenmeyer, joining us. But I owe Gordon an apology, a very deep and serious apology here, Harry. I have known Gordon now for a while, and I believe I connected him with one of the great Cub fans out there. Gordon was looking for some activities in the off season, which included getting in shape and playing basketball. And Gordon, I believe, if correct me if I'm wrong here, but you have sustained an injury associating with this gentleman, and now your off season has been
on you.
What's that?
From associating with you.
Right? I mean, it's kind of my fault that if you wouldn't have met Ken if you hadn't met me, and now what's going on with your knee?
I blew it out playing my second day of basketball in 20 years.
Gordon.
When your boy fell on me.
Yeah, I told it, like, he tells me.
Oh, wait, so I didn't know this part of the story, Gordon. Karn made it sound like you, like, drove to the basket and something snapped. This guy just, like, jumped you for no reason?
Well, yeah, it was after I came down from above the hoop. And then he landed on me.
On the reverse?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, okay, let me just say this. Yeah. My buddy called me up, and he's like, hey, you know, I reached out to Gordon, and I don't even know how this whole thing started, but, like, I reached out to Gordon to play basketball, and he said he would play, and I'm like, I don't believe that. Gordon Wittenmeyer is not showing up to play hoop with you. I don't think that's going on. And then, like, I saw him a month later. He's like, yeah, Gordon came out. He had a good time, I think. He's coming to play again. And then the next time I saw him, yeah, things aren't going that well for Gordon. Yeah. He's injured.
One MRI later.
Yeah, I didn't think you were going to do it. So are you going to be able to walk the ramp and cover the Cubs at Wrigley Field? I mean, what are we dealing with here?
Spring training's in 6 weeks.
Yeah,
right.
I got a fully blown ACL, a sprained MCL, and torn meniscus that's flipped underneath the knee. So they said you're too old to even worry about the ACL. So we'll just go in and fix the meniscus. So I'll do that at some point, probably in the next few weeks.
So you haven't had anything done yet?
Correct.
Oh, what, Carm, have you got a guy?
No, I'm staying out of that one. But are you able to walk?
Yeah, surprisingly enough, after about 3 weeks, I mean, unless I really push it or go to make a lateral move or something, it feels almost normal.
Wow. Okay.
It's that meniscus.
And what,
that's what the doctor was saying. When it gets in a bad spot, it's a sharp pain.
And so,
otherwise, it's fine.
What actually happened on the play? I really actually do want to know.
Well, I mean, I was in the process of working my way up to being able to move with a little more agility. But at this point in my game, I went to turn to go back up on defense, and there was a little collision behind me, and Ken fell on my leg.
So terrible.
Glad you find it humorous, right, Carl.
Well, I'm sorry this happened,
yeah,
Gordon.
It wasn't too funny at the time.
No, I bet it hurt like hell and probably still does, and I'm sorry this happened, and I hope you heal quickly.
It's career ending, man.
I know. I'm hearing it.
The Windy City Bulls were interested.
This is terrible. Swimming and yoga, that's what's coming up for you. All right, here, let's talk Cubs, Gordon. What's going on with Jake Arrieta? Is he signing with the Cubs for 4 years and $110 million? What do you know?
I don't see that. I don't see that. That's why this market is in stall mode, even as we're a full week into January now. This is starting to become almost a new normal in baseball. It's not unusual at all to see some of the higher-end free agents go into the new year. And now, especially when we got a new CBA with the comparatively low luxury tax levels, everybody, including the Yankees, seems to want to get below it. And then next year's free agent class is really good. So the guys at the top of this year's class are just hanging out there trying to get the classic contracts that we've seen in the last few years. But with nobody willing to commit like that, with some of the other talent on the horizon. So you've got the Cubs with a major need for a starter, the Cardinals. The Nationals may get involved. They tend to spend, especially on Boris clients, which, of course, Jake is.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Brewers are in on this relatively deep end of the market if the price stays around, you know, this idea of 4 years, 100, 110, the Brewers could be in that mix. And as it is, they're in the mix for the Alex Cobbs, who supposedly aren't going to be able to command the same that Arrieta or Darvish are. So there's this musical chairs that's still playing out. These guys don't want to settle. And believe me, Scott Boras and Arrieta will wait out some other players in this market before they accept a deal like that. They will not set a market price and sign, say, ahead of Darvish for a deal like that.
Boy, can you imagine if Arrieta went to the Brewers, what that would do for that?
What about the Cardinals?
How about the Cardinals?
That's,
the Cardinals are a real player for him.
Oh, God, don't
say that. They've been in touch with him since early on in this process.
See, I don't want to believe that. I mean, obviously he is, that's a possibility, and we lost Fowler, the Cubs lost Fowler there. But, like, the Brewers-Cubs series is a fun series. The Cubs-Cardinals series is, like, you know, adversarial. I would hate it if Arrieta went there. I noticed you didn't mention the Dodgers. I've heard that Arrieta's always thought about pitching in L.A. in that ballpark where, of course, he had his first no-hitter. Anything possible there, Gordon?
Not as much. The Dodgers have... obviously, as much money as they want to spend. They're also talking, and who knows what it means when they talk about this stuff, because it hasn't meant anything in recent years. But they're talking about that luxury tax threshold, too. So the dollars matter to them to some degree this year. And they actually have some depth for, you know, whatever you want to refer to as depth. They've got experienced starting pitchers, guys that have done it in the past that have been, you know, recent injury issues or performance issues, but they've got them in-house. They have choices. They don't have to go deep into this market if they don't want to, but they've got the muscle to jump in anytime they want. I don't see them as the biggest players. They don't seem to have the same kind of urgency as the teams that we're already talking about do.
Let's talk... little Wade Davis here, Gordon Whitmire of the Sun-Times with us here, 720 WGN. Where were the Cubs, if anywhere, with Wade? Were they willing to go 2 years, Gordon? And would you have given the price that Wade got in Colorado if you were the Cubs?
Well, let's put it this way. The Cubs were never going to do that. They don't do that. Theo, going all the way back to Jonathan Papelbon, has not been one to pay heavy in long years for a closer. A 2 or 3 year deal, sure. He made $10 million last year. He was certainly going to make more than that. So, you know, a two at, you know, at 30, something like that, 28, 30, maybe with an option or three at 35. Yeah, but not a, I mean, Wade Davis is the highest paid free agent out there right now. What do you get? 4 and 52.
Yep.
So that's, you know, and that's fine. Good for him. That's great. He's earned it. He deserves it. I don't know that that's a great bet on the Rockies' part. He's had some little forearm things within the last 2 years. There were times when he went out there not physically at the top of his game last year, and that was a season in which, right up until the end, his workload was managed pretty conservatively. So I'm not saying he's going to get hurt or anything like that. I'm just saying, given the age, given some of the recent track record, and given the length and the how big that contract is, that it may not be the best bet. And for what he does, you know, you can. The theory is that you can find these guys, that you can build these guys, and if you don't have one guy for the ninth, but you have other qualified matchup guys, that you can make that work. The other thing is, why spend that kind of money now when who knows who's going to be available at the deadline? Put yourself in position to be in the race, and you can go out and do what they did with Chapman, maybe not on that level. Wade Davis was a one-year trade, too. So
right.
Those are the kinds of things that I would see them probably looking at.
Well,
if they can't get the frontline starter they want, or if they get a deal in a trade that is payroll-friendly, you might see them go back into the free agent market for a reliever. You know, Greg Holland's still out there, but after what Wade Davis got, I don't think Holland's price is going to be too appetizing to him.
All right, so I think we're all assuming, Gordon, at this point, Brandon Morrow would be the guy who'd be first up to be the closer for the Cubs.
Yeah.
And do you believe that come opening day that will be the case, or do you think that Theo and Jed are going to go out there and bring in another guy to be the closer?
I think there are so many balls in the air right now for the Cubs, but also for the market at large, free agent market and trade market at large. There's so many teams that still have things left to accomplish before spring training with just over a month to go, that there are a number of different directions the dominoes could fall. So if they fall in that direction, absolutely, they'll jump on it. Right now, I think they're prepared to go to spring training with the ninth inning covered in-house right now.
And, you know, getting back to if Arrieta went to the Cardinals, that could essentially be a trade. Lance Lynn is one of the most sought-after free agents. You know, we talked about Alex Cobb. Is there, like, anybody else you think the Cubs have on their radar, starting pitcher, that they'd really like to get in here if Arrieta goes and signs with another club?
Well, those are the guys. And Lance Lynn's a lot of teams' fallback right now, it seems. He's not getting the same buzz that Cobb, Darvish, and Arrieta are. In particular, Cobb and Darvish, but he's out there. He's the other guy in those top four, and yeah, he could well be in play. He's also going to be another guy that I think is going to see where the market sets. Darvish or Cobb might be the first to sign. If I'm betting, I would bet Darvish is the first to sign. Where, I don't know. The Twins are. Have made him a priority. They've publicly said he's a priority. They still seem to be trying to set up a meeting with him, a sit down face to face, which could happen here at any time. And then that might be the last thing he needs before he starts getting into serious decision time.
Gordon Whitmire of the Chicago Sun-Times doing a phenomenal job covering the Cubs for how many years now, Gordon?
This will be 12 this year.
12 years. That's incredible. So how high do you think they're going to go for you? And you had a great piece, and I was been thinking it and been saying it, the same thing. Like, if you compare you Darvish's numbers to Jake Arrieta's, Arrieta looks better. He's got less innings. He doesn't have Tommy John, although I think some scouts look at the fact that Darvish has had that as a plus because he's already been through the surgery and recovered. But their playoff performances, there's no comparison. I don't quite get it. Like, I know he's, okay, he ticked down in velocity, but the guy's doing yoga right now, and he's probably going to go into a Pilates after that, and he's eating kale. Like, if you're gonna bet on somebody, I mean, I'd feel comfortable betting on Arrieta.
Hey, I tell you what, everything between the ears and above the neck, I don't know who I would put above him. I mean, his competitiveness, his approach, his work ethic, his value in the clubhouse, those are all real and big. I mean, that's just huge. And he's got stuff. So you look at it, and you're right. I mean, that's one of the reasons that we see his performance, not just in the playoffs being better than Darvish's, but against winning teams. So look in the last 3 years, since he's made 30-plus starts for the Cubs, it might have been 29, 28, something like that this year because of the hamstring. But look at the times he's faced good teams, playoff-caliber teams, playoff-contending teams, or teams that actually made the playoffs. His record against those teams is better than Darvish's, too. So he does get up for the big game. We've seen that. He's extremely competitive. There are times when he gets out of his mechanics. His command is off. He'll be competing. He'll be in a game. He'll be keeping his team in it. But it'll be 8 hits and 100 pitches, 4 walks through 5 innings,
right.
and he's done. There are other times where he goes on a 2-month stretch, and he's pitching 6 or into the 7th, and has got an ERA under 2. So you don't know what you're going to get. You're not going to get 2015 again. 2016 was a tick below. His velocity was an issue for part of last year, but he kind of reinvented himself. He really made his curveball a weapon to the degree that it wasn't before. So the guy is smart, too. Again, you can look at it from two different ways, and you can make your choice. And I'll leave it to you. One thing, if you're Theo, and I don't know how much this comes into play, but you will never make a better deal for Arrieta than you've already done. You've won Arrieta so many times over already, just because of how lopsided that trade turned out to be, and, yep, and the fact that it turned a franchise. And they don't do anything close to what they've done the last few years without Arrieta being right in the middle of it, starting in 15.
Gordon, at a different level, there's a bunch of people like myself that love Albert Elmora Jr., and I was shocked at how good John Jay was. Look in your crystal ball. I know they can't move Jason Hayward. Who's the Cubs' starting center fielder in 2018?
I think it's Elmora. I mean, before they, you know, you're hearing all these rumors about trades and Lorenzo Cain and things like that. But really, they've got to address their pitching. With the resources that they have to address starting pitching. And that's going to take up most of the resources they're willing to spend, whether it's in free agent money or player capital. If they're able to do that with enough room left over to really go aggressively after somebody else, they're certainly open to it. I mean, there's so many balls in the air industry-wide that a number of things could sort of fall their way. But what I predict, the way I see it going forward, is I would think Albert Elmora is going to get the first shot at nailing down an almost everyday job in center field. You know Madden, and he's going to mix and match and do that thing. And Elmora is still young. He won't play every day, but he should be in line to get a large chunk of playing time and get his opportunity this year. That's the way I see it. And really, he's a number 6 overall pick who, since he's been in the big leagues, has held his own and then some. He's been looking for an opportunity. Why would you go out and spend a bunch of money on somebody else before giving this guy a chance to establish himself?
It's the whole reason why they didn't sign Fowler. I
couldn't agree more. It's a no-brainer. The guy seems to do. I mean, he's a human highlight film defensively. He's terrific at running the bases, and the kid can hit. So it's a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, your bigger question is who's going to be leading off for you in the opener, and it's, you know, by default it might be Ben Zobrist at this point.
Right.
And who knows what position he'll be playing.
Could we get the Elton John version of Benny and the Jets instead of Zobrist's wife?
Oh, my God.
I was going to ask you who was leading off.
Just lead off Schwarber instead and solve the whole problem.
He's not going anywhere, is he, Kyle Schwarber?
I don't think so.
Yeah. Hey, Gordon, I believe we're running out of time here, but real quick, I believe Ken has called in, and I think he wants to apologize to you. Are you willing to hear an apology from Ken, perhaps?
If it comes with a couple of scotches.
All right, let's see what he's got here. Ken, you injured Gordon Whitmire?
Yes, I did, and Gordon, I really owe you an apology, but let me just set the scene real quickly. Okay, I was going up for a shot, and a guy about 30 years younger than me stuffed my shot, and I fell backward so horrendously into Gordon, but Gordon is such a trooper and gamer, he wanted to continue while everyone else is saying, no, go sit out, so Gordon continues to play. Finally, he sits out. And then, of course, we go to this local watering hole, which Gus owns. And he, by the way, Mark, he says, you're welcome back anytime there's a spot for you.
Thank you. Used to bartend there, Myers Tavern. Go ahead.
Right. And Gordon didn't even bother going to the hospital or anything. We went straight to the bar stool over at Myers.
I found plenty of medication right there.
Exactly. And for the first time in ages, the lights went out on us, and they actually closed Myers while Gordon and I were still sipping down scotches or I think it was actually
Coca-Cola, Kenny. You were having Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola, right, exactly. Right, right. But anyways, Gordon, I owe you an apology. And anytime, like I've texted you before, you want to go out and meet me sometime. The guys, by the way, have been asking about how's Gordon and everything. And I told them about what happened. And they're just like in disbelief. They're shocked.
You're a beloved figure, yeah, Gordon.
I had no idea either. That's why I went back in the game.
Well, they can't wait for next year when you come back from that ACL, okay?
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you, Gordon and Mark.
All right, Kenny. I'll see you at Myers.
Hey, if you're at Myers, you got to go tater tots. Gordon, Carmen's got a guy who wants to introduce you to get you to play some hockey next.
Yeah, okay. Hey, you know what? I've still got some teeth left, so I can. I got something to bring to the table there, yeah.
Well, what is your choice of scotch, by the way? I had a friend that told me if you're not drinking Glenfiddich, you're not drinking scotch. What, do you have a favorite?
Oh, no. Glenlivet.
Glenlivet over Glenfiddich. What about Glenbecker?
Absolutely.
Hey, Gordon.
Back in the day.
We appreciate you for coming on, my friend, and heal up, and we're looking forward to reading you, of course, come spring training and all the off-season news. We'll see. A lot of stuff's probably going to be coming down next couple of weeks, you would think, right? I mean, it's
yeah, are absolutely. We going to... Yeah, it's got to.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Convention.
I would expect something in the next week with Cubs convention.
Yeah, they always have something exciting happen right before the convention.
Forgot about the convention coming up next weekend. All right. Hey, Gordon, appreciate you.
All right, Carm. Take care, guys.